Hallelujah. Everything is changed. Nothing is the same. That is the power of the living God. When it comes into your life, everything changes. And I believe that some people are here this evening for a life-changing encounter. Hallelujah. I can't hear your amen. I can't feel your amen. You know, the word of God has so many attributes. One of the things that it has is that it has an ability to change you. Hallelujah. It has an ability to change you. When you come into the word of God, you know, you never remain the same. You know, the word of God is like a mirror. So today, we are blessed to have the word of God preached to us once again. Amen. And you know, the last 2 days, have been very, very awesome. You know, the Lord's presence has been here. You know, I believe that the revelations that we've received are revelations that, you know, will definitely transform our lives, because it's coming from God's own anointed, God's own vessel that, you know, God has ordained to preach to us in this last, in the last 2 days, and indeed this evening. Our father, Bishop Richard, is not with us this evening. In the last 2 days as well, he's away on church business. But like I said, over the last 2 days, he has made a very, very powerful arrangement, or he has put in place a very, very powerful provision for us. Amen. And, you know, it's like daddy is not away, but he's asked uncle to come and preach to us. That's how it feels. You know, some uncles, when they come, they give you a lot of money, and, you know, they treat you well. They treat you well. Today, we have an uncle in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a spiritual uncle in the house. But if someone I will call a spiritual father, I tell you, the Bible says that you have 10,000 fathers, but not many, 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers. There are a few people that I can call, or I would normally call, spiritual fathers. But this man I'm about to introduce to you today, ladies and gentlemen, is one of my spiritual fathers. He's the first man, he's the one who appointed me as an usher. Yeah, he appointed me as an usher. I remember he used to tap our chest. You know, when he's talking to you, tap your chest. Steve, you can be an usher. You can be an usher. I said, this man, you don't know where I've come from. I said, Steve, you can be an usher. Yeah. And I never look back since he tapped my chest. Today, some people's chests are going to be tapped. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Life-changing messages is going to come our way. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and welcome our daddy's friend, our daddy's best friend, Apostle Joel Obobisa. Come on.
We lift our hands in the sanctuary. We lift our hands to give you the glory. We lift our hands to give you the praise. And we will praise you for the rest of the day. Yes.
Hello.
We will praise you for the rest of the day.
Come and lift your hands.
We lift our hands.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. High five three people and say, God is good tonight. Tell that person, I'm falling in love with Jesus more and more. Amen. Let us pray. Let's share a word of prayer before you sit down. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. It's the best thing I've ever done. Sing it again. Sing falling in love with Jesus.
Falling in love.
In His love, I feel protected. Come on.
In His love, I feel protected. In His love, never disconnected. In His love, I feel protected.
Come on, sing that again. In His love, I feel protected.
In His love, I feel protected. In His love, never disconnected. In His love.
Father, we thank you for tonight, and we thank you for the grace for loving you that is released upon us during this convention. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to see and to understand. And thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts and giving us the grace and the capacity to walk in love towards God and towards our neighbor. We pray tonight that you will visit us again. We ask, Lord, that you open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. We pray that you touch our hearing and touch our understanding. Lord, touch my speaking too, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus that your name will be glorified and that we will never leave here the same. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. Amen. Wow. What a blessing. Amen. I am very grateful for the opportunity to share with you the Word of God these 3 days. Amen. And I thank God for the life of Bishop Richard. The people on the left are not clapping. Now those on the right have stopped. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that Bishop Richard is one of the great men of God that God has given to this country. Amen. It's God's gift to the UK. Yeah. And all of you are here because of him. And so, and all your lives have been affected because of him. Amen. And you must always honor him and always cherish him and take every opportunity you get to show appreciation for the gift of God as he has given to you. Amen. So we thank God, and it's a great blessing. Thank you again, Pastor Steve and Sister Philippa. Marka is here tonight again, and I'm grateful to all of you and all the pastors who have been so nice while I've been here. Pastor Alfred and Lady Pastor, I saw your choir. It's very powerful. Very powerful. Yeah. Amen. Wow. Well, so I'm blessed to be here. And tonight I'm just wrapping up the message I've been sharing with you. If we love the Lord. Hallelujah. If we love the Lord. Now let's start again from reading the scripture in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew, we start from verse 36. Matthew chapter 22 and let's start from verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment? Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. This is the what? The first and great commandment. One more time. This is the first and great commandment. One more time. This is the first and great commandment. This is the first one, and it is the greatest one. Isn't it? So it's the most important because it's the greatest one, and also it is the first one. Isn't it? Jesus said it is the first one. It's the first thing you have to do before anything else. Then, secondly, that out of all the things you do, it is the greatest one. That means it yields the greatest results. That means it brings the greatest return. It means it affects you most significantly. It means it's the biggest deal when it comes to your relationship with God. Are you understanding that? So he said, this is the first and great commandment. What is it? That you will love the Lord thy God with all your heart. With all your heart. Your heart is the core of you. Do you understand? When they say that you're doing something with your heart, it means that the very core of you is involved in what you're doing. Hallelujah. Then he says you have to progress on to love him with all your mind. That means you have to be intentionally intellectual about loving God. Do you see what I'm saying? That you have to think it through and pursue it. That you don't have to wait for a feeling, but you have to take a decision that I am going to love God. Can I have an amen? Amen? Then he says you should love God with all thy soul. That means the arena of your life that interacts with the world. See, if you didn't have a soul, we wouldn't feel you. Do you see? You would just be like the chair. Or better still, you would be more like the computer. Because the computer has a mind, but it doesn't have a soul. That's why your computer doesn't cry. Do you see, even when a virus attacks it, it just has the same... Do you see? That's the difference. But your computer can think. You can ask your computer to add 2 and 2 and it will tell you the answer is 4. That's a mind. Do you see what I'm saying? But when you have a soul, you have feelings in addition to the mind. It means that you can cry. It means you can laugh. It means you have moods. Yeah, you have moods and you feel things. And he says you need to bring that ability that you have to bear on loving God. That you need to love God with your moods. Love God with your feelings. You need to love God with your ability to cry. And love God with your ability to laugh. I mean, you think about it. Two things we do. One of them is to laugh. And the other one is to cry. Isn't it? God must have given us the ability to cry for a reason. Don't you think so? Yeah, he must have given us the ability to cry for a reason. And he gave us the ability to laugh also, to be merry and to rejoice and be happy. And that's also for a reason. So we need to love God with everything within us. Our soul. It says you need to love God with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, and with your entire being. Hallelujah. And he says, this one is the first and great commandment. Then he said, and the second is similar to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. Amen. Amen. So we've been talking mostly about the first one, which is loving God. Amen. Amen. And I believe that we talked about how loving God makes us stay away from sin, isn't it? Makes us keep his commandments. And we saw an example of someone who kept the Lord's commandments because he loved the Lord. Amen. Now, yesterday we were talking about the second one where Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. He said, if you love me, you will feed my sheep. That means you will teach my people. Hallelujah. See, the Great Commission has two parts. One part is, see, we were memorizing that verse recently, isn't it? Matthew chapter 28. It says, go ye therefore, let's read it. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then the next one, verse 20, says, teaching them, after we have preached to people and they have come to Christ, now he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. All things. That's a long-term relationship with the people that we bring to the Lord, isn't it? He says that we are supposed to teach them everything he has commanded us. That means everything you know, you are supposed to be passing it on to another person. Do you see what I'm saying? As you bring people to the Lord, God is expecting you to teach them. Says all things, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then he says, lo, I am with you. I am with you always. So people who take it upon themselves to think about others and to help them and to teach them, the Lord's promise to them is that I am with you. I am with you. And it makes a big difference. I'll tell you why it makes a big difference. You see, before verse 19, look at verse 18. It says, Verse 18. Jesus came and spake to them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and the earth. All power. Every power all power is given unto me in heaven and the earth. So it is against this backdrop that he is now saying, go into the world and do all these things. So when he now says, look, if you do it, I am with you, it means he's bringing all power to bear against your life. Are you understanding it? He's coming to back your life up with all power. I'm with you always. That is the greatest assurance. That's why you don't have to spend your life looking for things. Let me ask you, what would you rather have? Would you rather bring some bread with you or bring the baker along? Which one would you like? You're going on a journey. You have the opportunity to bring some loaves of bread with you or to bring the baker with you. Which one would you like to have? Yeah. So instead of following all sorts of things and asking the Lord, give me this and give me that, and making all these things your obsession, why don't you turn your attention towards feeding his sheep? And his promise is that I am with you. I'm with you always. Do you understand? I'm with you always. And it makes a huge difference, because the one who is with you is the one who also has all power in heaven and earth. I tell you, there is nothing God cannot do for you. There is nothing God cannot do for you. There is nothing God cannot do for you. I said, there is nothing God cannot do for you. It's just that often our affection is misplaced. Look, since my children started to grow up, I have understood a lot about our relationship with God. Some of you have children. You have the ability to buy them certain things, but you're just wondering what that thing will do to him. Is it not true? Yeah. It's like his maturity is not catching up with your ability to provide. Do you understand? You have more capacity to provide for him than his maturity can handle. And so you just, sometimes you even buy toys and you hide them. If I give it to you right now, you'll spoil it. Yeah. Same, some of you, God has put your beloved on the shelf. Yeah. Because the way you are, if I give it to you right now, you spoil it. He needs you in church a little longer. He needs you attending a few more camps. He needs you to develop the habit of soaking in messages. He needs you to get the podcast finally on your phone. He needs you to develop some spirituality before he picks it from off the shelf and tosses it in your hand. I mean, the way you are, you just destroy it. Yeah, just like your little girl spots that thing you gave to her. I bought for my daughter when she was coming. I mean, I couldn't wait to see my daughter with nice things. Because I used to work in a baby shop a long time ago, right here, actually on Peckham Rye. Yeah. And I used to work in a shop. It was called Wear and Cheer. And they sold baby toys and things like that. And I couldn't wait. One day when I have a child, I'd like her to have some of these things. So when my daughter was finally born, I bought her a CD player. It was like a boom box, you know. And I thought, wow, this is really cute. And I bought it for her. But she was so little, she couldn't relate with it. One day I saw her coming from the room. She was just pulling it like a car. Yeah. That's the CD player. Just pulling it. The thing is a car. It's a toy car that she's just dragging behind her. If you would turn your focus on God, you're going to find that loving God is the one thing that comes with everything. It's the one thing that has everything in it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God is not late where your life is concerned. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is not late where your life is concerned. You see, we don't all mature at the same pace. Because we all didn't meet him on the same day. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, focus, turn your attention onto God. Hallelujah. Amen. And love him and show him you love him according to what he says means love to him. And one of the things he says would mean that you love him is when you look after a few of his children. People that he says he bought with his precious blood. He said he purchased them with his own blood. These people are precious. Do you understand? Let me tell you something. If you want to be important to God, take care of some of his precious children. I'm telling you. Is there any one of you who does not know the phone number of their babysitter? Or who has forgotten their babysitter's phone number? Is there anybody who uses a babysitter? Is there someone who leaves your children somewhere? Someone who has... Is there anybody here like that tonight? You have kids? How many of them? One. And you leave your child with a babysitter. Do you know the babysitter's number? You know it by heart? Tell me that, baby.
It's 0208-962-0098.
You didn't understand that, did you? Just take it easy. One at a time. See, I'm from Ghana, you know. I can't understand this. Okay.
0208-962-0098.
So, do you have this number saved on your phone? You don't need to save it on your phone. I don't need to save it on my phone. She's got my precious baby. I keep her number in my head. I don't keep the number even on the phone. So if I leave the phone in the cab, then I can't find my baby. No, 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 no. You know whose number I keep on the phone? I keep people like you. I keep your... Yeah. Yeah, your number goes on the phone. You see what I'm saying? But my little baby boy, born in Bethlehem, in the manger, I keep his babysitter's number in my head. You get hold of any of God's children. You just start looking after some of God's children. God will send angels to your house. God will send angels to your house. Yeah. Angels will come and live with you because of what you do for God's children. Yeah. Just find a couple of people and take the oversight. You remember yesterday we read a verse? It says, taking the oversight. Decide to be as good an example as possible. Do you understand? To be an example to God's children. And you see, the thing is, when it comes to example, we don't only need an example of a good thing. You see what I'm saying? Some of you think that your life's the way they have been in the past. Do you see? They say now you should be a good example, but you feel like the past has already messed you up. You see what I'm saying? So you even feel embarrassed, but I want you to know that you are still a good example of what not to be. Do you see what I'm saying? You are still a very good example of what not to be. In fact, you are a good explanation of all the preaching in the church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So everybody can be an example. You don't have to have a clean background to be a good example. A good example is from now for, but your messy checkered background is also a great example. In fact, people cannot understand where they are headed until you tell them the story of your life. Yeah. It's a pity that some of us are so ashamed of our past that we cannot even share it to people who would be greatly helped. We cannot share it with people who would be greatly helped by our past. Yeah. If people were to hear some of the stories of where we have been and what we have done. Yeah. If people were, if we would be open and bold enough to say it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. You're a good example either way. And he says, be an example to the flock. Be an example. Show them how it is. Show them a good example of someone who comes out of the world and walks away from the past. Do you understand? Show them a good example of someone who's had so many girlfriends, who can turn away from all of them and come and sing in the choir in the church. Yeah, a good example. Good example. Good example. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. A good example of someone who's been everywhere and done everything and is doing church also. Yeah. And you will see what a difference it's going to make to your life. Jesus told Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Then he demonstrated what he would get in return by showing him, if you would take care of my people, I will cook your fish. You will not have to go catch your fish. I will catch your fish and I will grill your fish and I will add bread to it and you will come and find your fish hot and served. Yeah, because you're looking after some of my children. I tell you, at any level, that is why I love what I do. I think it's such a blessing to be a pastor. Yeah, I think it's such a blessing. Yeah. God's people cannot wear me out. No. You cannot wear me out. Because I do it because I love God. Not by constraint. No one is forcing me to do what I do. See, sometimes I'm even counseling people. Like, I can see the person wants to go. Me, I have more time for you than you have, even for the problem you are talking about. Yeah. Sometimes I ask the people in my church, what do you think I gain from preaching a long sermon? See, as much as I know, everybody wants to do as little as they can do for the same pay they get. Would you not do that? If you had to work for 3 hours a day to earn the same thing, would you not prefer that? Yeah. Everybody is trying to see how they can do very little for so much. But when the love of God fills your heart, you're trying to see how you can do much more. You are rather begging the people, can I give you 2 extra verses? Can I give you 3 extra verses? Can you wait a little bit? Can I preach a little longer? You see the person organizing the meetings and trying. It's the love of God. It's the love of God and love for God that makes people do that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Loving God is different from working for God. It's different from serving God. Your love for God can make you serve God. But just because you serve Him doesn't mean you love Him. Hallelujah. I pray that the love of God will rest upon you. I said the love of God will rest upon you. This will be the year that your heart will find its rightful place. What it was created to do. To beat for God. Hallelujah. This will be the year that you're going to love God. I tell you, get a page on your iPad or something and start to write the words of songs. Do you understand? I mean, just go online. These days, internet has made everything easy. You see a song, you just go there, you Google the lyrics and you just copy and you paste it and then it's there. You see, you have to put in that effort. You have to be intentional. He said, love Him with your mind. Do you understand? Yeah, some of you come to church, you don't know the songs. You get it? When the worship is going on, you don't even participate. You're not talking to God. You're just amusing yourself. Even your days in the nightclub were better. Yeah, because there you danced too. Do you understand? And there was a greater connection with the person dancing in front of you because there was an aim. Do you see what I'm saying? So what you were doing had your mind and your soul in it, because you knew what you were hoping to get at the end, and you were monitoring the whole experience and monitoring the whole thing all the way through to the end. Yeah. Your phone would ring and you just tell your friend, even without looking at who is calling, you just answer and say, I'm going to call you back. Then you put the phone back and you turn it off, because this phone is ruining things. But now you come to church, and during praise and worship, even they put the screen words on the screen, you won't even look at it. You know, you're just floating around. Let's get into God. Amen. Tell somebody, I'm getting into God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, one more thing I want to share with you tonight for a few minutes before we close is that if we love the Lord, one of the things God has promised for us to experience is special mercy. Do you get it? Now, in the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, in Exodus chapter 20, well, let's start from verse 3. Exodus chapter 20 is where you have the Ten Commandments. Verse 3, he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do you see it? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Then the verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. God says, I don't want any rivals anywhere, up, here, or under. I don't want you to have anybody before me, like me, anywhere. Do you understand? Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Then he tells you the reason, because I, the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God. Huh? What do you think? God is saying he's jealous. Maybe you shouldn't feel too bad about your jealousy. I am a jealous God. Then he says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Did you see that? God said that when people hate me, when people don't like me, right? All they have to do is to step on my toes or to mess up a little bit. They break any of my laws, and I make him pay for it. Then his son pays for it. Then his son's son pays for it. Then his son's son's son pays for it. Now, this is the first generation. This is the second generation. This is the third generation. And this is the fourth generation. He said, when you don't like me, the way it's set up, this is how it goes. Yeah. That is the reason why all of us inherited Adam's sin. By the time you were born, you were already a sinner. You don't have to do anything to be included. No, you are a sinner already. You don't have to do anything to be included. This is the root of family curses. This is the root of curses that start in a family, where you see it in the mother, and you see it in the daughter, then you see it in the granddaughter, and you see it in the great-granddaughter also. And God said that that's the way it is. Why is it like that? I don't know. When we see God, we'll have a lot of questions. Start preparing them on your iPad. When you go to heaven, you start to ask God. But God says this is how it is. I tell you, that is why you need to watch your behavior. Some things that you do. And you see, when you look at it in the natural, you can understand it. You see, because when someone has, let's say, someone is diabetic, they have diabetes in their family or high blood pressure or something like that. You see, subsequent generations, you just have it. You don't even have a say in whether you want to have it or not. Do you see what I'm saying? You just have it. Some of us have diabetes already written into our future. You just have to hit the age and it just steps in. Yeah. It's like a baby girl that's born. Is there a baby girl here I can borrow? At the back. Yeah? Well, if your baby is nice, you can bring her. Nice. I mean, she won't cry on us. She can cry. I just want to borrow a baby girl. But you see, just stand up right there. Just stand there. It's okay. Wow. Is that another baby girl there? Okay. No. You're looking in the wrong place. Here. That's a boy. Okay. Wow. Listen, you see that baby girl? Where is she? Great. This one. She's nice. Yeah. Right. Now, you see this baby girl? Huh? She's wired to have breasts. But you can't see them now. Huh? Is it there? Can you see any breasts? But do you think she will have breasts at some point? Or we are not supposed to say breast in church? Okay, you know that feeding apparatus. It's a feeding bottle made of flesh. Do you see that? She just has to keep growing and keep growing. Then she's going to hit a certain age. Then something is going to tell the breast, time to shoot out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So many of us are living and there are things that are lined up according to our parents' and our grandparents' sins that are just waiting for the setting to be right. Do you understand? To manifest. It's just not their time yet. Yeah. See, when the bus goes down the road, the reason why it stops at the stop is that there are people who are waiting. They're all waiting to board it. They have passes already. They have travel tickets and so on that have validated and have confirmed their right to be on the bus. It's just that the bus has not reached there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So there are so many things that are often waiting in a person's life. And they legitimately belong to your life. Yeah. Because somebody down the line actually signed up for it. Somebody signed up for it. So they legitimately belong to your life. It's just you're not there yet. I mean, if someone is not married, they can't be divorced. Isn't it? Yeah. You just got a beloved. But you don't know that three stops down the road, there's divorce also waiting. Are you getting what I'm saying? And why you? Well, because someone down the line qualified you for it. Yeah. It's all part of the family inheritance. Because it's divorce, you say you don't like it. If it was family land, you say you like that one. And you'll be walking around showing papers with your grandfather's signature. Yeah. With your grandfather's signature, and you say, this is, I belong, it's for me. It's for the family. That's the same thing. It's just the reverse. Do you understand that? Yeah. Now, he said that, I do that upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. Then comes the next verse. He said, but showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. Can you see that? And keep my commandments. So that means the only thing that can intercept what the history has qualified you for is what you do with the love for God. Isn't it relieving? I feel so relieved. He said, when people love me, I show the mercy. And you should get the context, because this verse is coming right after the previous one. So he's saying that, you know, I, the Lord, I visit iniquities to third and fourth generations. The father's sins carry all the way to number three, number four generations. But I show mercy. That means I block it. I block it. I block it. I show mercy. If someone in the family, if one of the sons, if one of the daughters has any love for me, mercy steps in and mercy says it's enough. And mercy says you can skip this one. Mercy says not this one. And you know what that means? When mercy comes in and mercy intercepts it, then it means a new generation has started. You are now the new father. Do you understand? You are now the new father. Now the new father, not that he never made a mistake, but he's so covered by mercy, do you understand, that the things don't register, and so they can't, there's nothing to pass on. 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 That is why serving God is a blessing. Did you know Jesus said when you are saved, it's you and your household. It is you and your household. Salvation has come to you and your household. Do you understand? Now, the word salvation implies, when you say someone has been saved, what's another word for saved? Redeemed. Huh? Right? Rescued. What about rescued? Yeah, what about rescued? And we can't talk about rescue unless we are talking about impending danger. There's something ahead, and you are. So when they say salvation or rescue has come to your house, then something has come to extract people from danger that is just along the line that's just waiting for them. Yeah. I tell you. Have you seen the bus coming down the line as you're waiting at the stop, and then as it's coming down, it says no service? Do you have some of those buses? Yeah. You have your bus pass, but it doesn't mean you can get on any bus. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That bus has to be in service. You understand? The Lord is saying that your love for Him shuts your bus down and takes it out of service for all these curses and all these things that are lined up along the road waiting for you. You see how people see the bus coming and how they flag the bus with confidence. Even some don't even bother to flag the bus. They just start gathering their bags and start walking, arranging themselves, just getting ready to get on the bus. Because they feel it's their right. Because they bought the bus pass. They bought it for a week, the travel card, and they have it in their pocket. They are getting ready to flash it and say, I belong to this bus, I'm getting on. Even the driver doesn't like you, you don't care. Yeah. Because you bought the pass. But I tell you, when the driver is driving one of those buses that's out of service, he doesn't even look at you. Have you seen how the driver's just coming and you start to get ready and you start to arrange yourselves and you start to gather your bags. And when you get up, you realize the bus is not, it's just moving. It says no service. No service. You're not getting on this bus. Because my love for God has caused mercy to shut off this bus. And you are not getting on. Because God is showing me mercy. Oh, I see God showing you mercy. I said, I see God showing you mercy. Mercy is coming your way this year. Oh, how we need His mercy. How we need His mercy. We do need His mercy. Oh, you know you need God's mercy. You know that if God was to allow things to be as they ought to be, you need mercy. When you were a child, you spoke as a child. You understood as a child. And you thought as a child. But the thing about consequences is they don't spare you because you're a child. That's why kids get burned by the iron. And the iron doesn't understand that this kid doesn't understand that this thing burns. So the fact that you did it in immaturity does not spare you from the consequences. But I tell you that when mercy starts speaking for you, when mercy starts stepping in for you, God will show you mercy. I said, God will show you mercy. God will show mercy to your children because of your love for Him. Yeah, your children are going to do stupid things because all children do stupid things. The Bible says foolishness is bound to the heart of a child. A child just comes wired to be foolish. We just naturally do foolish. Have you seen a child? Do you not wonder sometimes why children always put the left foot on the right foot? The shoes? Huh? Don't you wonder if it's just guesswork? Don't you wonder why they don't just get it right sometimes? But if they did it 10 times, 9 out of 10, they would get it wrong. It means to a child's mind and eye, right looks like left. Wrong looks like right. Stupid looks like wise. That is how children think. It's because you're a child. But mercy. You see, I'll never forget this. One of my kids, one day, I was getting ready to go to church. I was ironing my shirt. And it was a new shirt. So I took out the pins from my shirt. And one of those pins fell on the carpet. I didn't realize it, you know. And I continued to iron, get the shirt ready to go to church. Then comes my son. And he's crawling, you know. I didn't even look at him, but he was just around the place. But at some point, I saw him coughing as though he was choking on something. you know, and he was just coughing and just coughing and closing his eyes in some way, and you know, so I sort of looked at him, and he seemed to have something in his mouth. So you know how no child can resist that when your mother grabs you like whatever is in your mouth, you declare your assets. So I grabbed him and I just squeezed his mouth open. Here was the pin. I tell you, here was the pin right there in his mouth. He was trying to swallow it. But you see, mercy stepped in and said, no, 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 no. No. Said, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're going to need God to show your children mercy. When your children start choosing friends in school, you're going to need God to show mercy. You're going to need mercy to enroll to take classes because your child is in the school. Yes, you're going to need mercy to take its seat right next to your child. Because you see, children don't, you see, you choose your friends, but do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and evil communication corrupts good manners and so on. Children choose their friends by who has the nice toys and who brings better lunch to school than him, who shares their lollipop, and that's how children choose their friends. Yeah. So as you are bringing your child to church and screening out all the evil, your child is also going to school and just dousing himself with it. But I know one thing that will step in for you, and that is mercy. And that mercy is triggered by your love for God. As you love God, he said, I show mercy to thousands who love me. If you love me, I will show you mercy. Yeah. So that's why sometimes you see some people in the church. When you've been around a little bit, you develop a heightened sense of righteousness, and you feel that some people don't qualify for certain things. You get it? That's your feeling, but you don't know that you see. The Bible says, he who is forgiven much, loves much. So some of these people that have the worst history, do you understand? That you look at and think you're better than them because you think you know a thing or two about them. Do you understand? But you don't know that actually where sin abounds, grace also abounds. Isn't it? You tell me, you see, if I was traveling... and I brought my bags here, and I have my 50 pound or 23 kilo suitcase, then I have my 7 pound carry-on, then you guys say you're helping me, okay, and you come with your child to come and help me move these things to the car. Do you see? Which of those would you take? Which one would you take? You take the older person. The bigger person takes the bigger one, isn't it? Because the weight of it calls for more strength. So when people have been down, the weight of their sin makes God send heavyweight grace to go lift them out of that place. Are you understanding that? Yes. So just like you are not going to ask your child, go get the big suitcase. You know, he can't. He can't. He wants to, but he can't. And that suitcase will get left behind. But when God's mercy finds you, nobody's getting left behind. And God will send enough grace to lift you up. Listen, your love for God is going to affect your unsaved brothers. Your unsaved mother, your unsaved father, your unsaved siblings. Your love for God is going to go dig them out. It's going to go dig them out. Pray for love for God. Pray. This year, just pray for love for God. Pray that God, please just fill my heart with love for God. Stop praying for things. Stop praying for things. That's like asking for bread. When the baker says, if you do this, I'll come with you. I will come with you. I will come with you. I will come with you. God wants to come with you. He will. I feel like there are some people here tonight who really understand what I'm talking about. Because you have started to experience mercy already. You have started to see traces of it in your life. And God is showing you that He has given you one more chance. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. It's in there. When God blesses you, He'll bless you. Bless your children. Bless your children's children. Same thing. It goes to the third and fourth generations. So instead of being added to those who hate God, do you understand? And God has defined clearly. He said, he that has my commandments and doeth them, he it is that loveth me. So the one who doesn't love me, what is the whole thing then? If he doesn't love me, then he's probably one of the haters. I want to love God. I want to love God. I don't want anything. I just want to love God. Yeah. I just want. If you were to start listing your needs, you see that you are not good enough at listing them. You even have needs you don't know about. If you like, ask that little girl to list her needs. She's going to talk most likely about the most useless ones. But the one who's carrying her knows needs that she has that she cannot even comprehend. The little girl cannot comprehend the needs that she has. You see her crying over something and fussing over something, and if you go look at it, because it's just some rubber something, that's what she's crying over. And some of us are like that. Do you get it? Some of us are upset with God. Some are frustrated. Some are disappointed. Some feel that it doesn't pay to serve the Lord. Some feel that all this going to church and coming back is a waste of time. All this choir and all the things I've been doing in the church, it's all a waste of time. You are crying over rubber, rubber, rubber. That's what you're crying over. You don't know that what you're crying over is actually nothing. Nothing. See, when you don't have something, you always exaggerate its value. When you don't have it, you think it's more valuable than it really is. Yeah. But if you were to think this way, anything that you are looking for passionately, somebody has it and is throwing it away. Yeah. When you buy a used car, it means somebody has just sold this car. Did you not hear the name used car? You are getting ready to come and give your testimony. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. And you're not lying. God has been good. But you just God wants you to know, just for your information, somebody just got done with it. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes when you're single and you're not married, you feel like you're missing the world. But you don't know that the line into marriage is as long as the line out of marriage. Those who are coming out of it is as long as those who are going into it. And those who are going into it, they are looking at those who are coming out and they are just thinking, ah, you're coming out? We want it. And those who are coming out, those who are coming out are also looking at those who are going in. And, you are going all the best. Then you see some of the people who are coming out. When they get to the end, they look at the long line. They say, no, there must be something there. Then they join again. Yeah. So you see, the whole thing is a long circle. Do you see, like when you go to the theme parks, see how they have sometimes the thing that goes round? It's like that. We are all just dancing around vanities. There is no man or woman who can come into your life and fill it enough to eliminate your need for God. Yeah. You see, and when you put a human being where God belongs, the disappointment and frustration is unlimited. Yes. Yes. You set yourself up for unlimited frustration because you have put a human being where God... It's like putting that little baby... Where is the girl? It's like putting that little... You want to go somewhere, right? You put the little girl, that one in particular, you put her behind the steering wheel. Yeah. You get it. You're going to be sitting there for a long time because she's not taking you anywhere. Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's okay to fall in love, because that's why they say you fall, because often it's not even by choice. Before you know it, it's happened to you already. Somebody just passes, you like the person. Without permission, your heart has already started to... Yeah. Your heart has already started to go after the person. And you can't help it. Recently, I was talking to a little girl. She was following some guy. I tell you, this guy will even call her names. Do you see? Yeah, the guy would call her names. The guy would say, I've done this. Then she would say to me, but Apostle, I don't know why I still like him. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't blame you. It's something, I don't know, we cannot help it. But you see where God put it. That's your neighbor. He said that's number two. Is not number one. That's your neighbor, your beloved. He's your neighbor. He's not God. So what belongs to God, you can't give it to your beloved. Yeah. You can't tell your beloved, but it's Sunday, so do you have to go to church today? I mean, why can't we just spend time together at the beach? Nonsense. You have the wrong person. Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? Yes. Some of us have made our careers our God. Yeah. What you love is what you do. And what you do is the only thing that moves you at any time. Round the clock, the only thing you respond to without questioning is what you do for a living. Yeah. You have put your career in the place of God. Yeah. Some of us are obsessed with our education. You have overvalued your education. Yeah. See, and that's a very dangerous thing to do when you don't understand even the purpose of your education. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. When someone is going to school, It's like you are learning how to use cutlery. It's like you're... But there is no amount of skill you can develop in the use of cutlery that can turn the cutlery into food. A different process puts food on the plate for you to use that cutlery you have learned to use. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So when you love God, it seems that rather activates the process that puts something on the plate even for you to start to apply the cutlery to. Do you understand that? Yeah. I mean, education is important. It trains you in the use of your mind. You get it? But it does not create the food that you are supposed to use that cutlery to eat. No, you can't be educated enough to create that. Something else has to create it for you. Then you apply your education to it and it starts to make sense. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. The Bible says it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. If you like, start reading your Bible carefully. You see, everybody who was rich in the Bible seemed to have a special relationship with God. You look in the Bible. See, everybody who was rich, you name them, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, there's always the word blessing somewhere around there. Either the Lord blessed them or Isaac blessed Jacob or somebody. There's always that supernatural element that seems to create what they are. Even in strange places. I mean, Abraham is the kind of person who would tell Lot, look, we're fighting, let's separate. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. He's that neutral because he knows what creates the blessing. It's not the blessing, it's not the place does not confer a blessing on you. You come to the place and you bring a blessing with you to the place. Yeah. Abraham didn't mind losing anything to Lot. So long as he wouldn't touch his God, you can have anything. Since you can have the well-watered places, the places that are already green and all that, then you can choose. Have all those places. Just have it. Just leave me with God. That is it. Yeah. And true, when you have everything without God, you see, then you have nothing but with God. Then you see that you soon swap places. The one who had everything without God comes to have nothing. And the one who had nothing with God starts to have everything. Yeah. You see. Amen. Is it making sense to you what I'm sharing with you? Yes. I really want to encourage you guys in this church to love God. Make it your aim this year. The main thing that's going to go for you this year is your relationship with God. Hallelujah. It's your relationship with God. See, the prodigal son and his father, they show us a relationship between God and us. And that's a boy who walked away from his father, but with everything. He's walked away from his father, who represents God, and he has everything. And then soon, he's fighting with pigs for what the pigs eat. You get. I'm sure if you're a pig, you're not going to like it when a human being comes into your place and you thought he was bringing food. Then when he comes, he's coming to fight with you over the food. You're not going to like it. So the pigs gave him a hard time. I tell you, they say, you will not share our food with us. Get out of here. That is what made the guy start to think that, you know, I'm better off back with God, even as a servant. Do you understand? Even just go back, just let just anything I can do, you know, within that environment. That's why David said that I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'll be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'll just stand at the door. Yeah. Because once I'm in the arena, I know I'm covered. And I know it's going to be well with me. It is your greatest blessing that you know the Lord. And all these things we do for God, they are all opportunities to love Him. Opportunities to deepen our love for Him. All the things we sing, we shoot videos for Him, we do different kinds of things for God. They are just opportunities for you to keep the thing going. But they are not substitutes for the real thing. The real thing is that you do love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Do you understand? And with all your strength, energy. You love God with strength and energy. Oh, the way we've done some things with strength before. Ooh. Yeah. With strength. You eye this woman that you like. Huh. You walk all the way to her house so that you can take a mini cab back to impress her. Yeah. When you arrive, she doesn't know you walked. Yeah. But when you are finishing the visit, then you call the mini cab. So come and take me to Walthamstow. As soon as the cab leaves the neighborhood, you just stop and you jump on the bus. With strength. Hey. We could talk all night on the phone, and we say we cannot pray all night. Something is clearly missing. Something is clearly missing. The engine that makes people do things for God is their love for Him. And I pray that God will give us that blessing tonight. Lift up your hands, everybody, and just start praying to the Lord and say, Lord, please give me love for you. Just pray. Say, Lord, touch my heart and give me love for you. Thank you, Lord. Sit at your feet, lay back against you and feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say. I melt in your peace, it's over. Sit
at your feet.
Drink from the cup in your hand.
Lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heart beat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can say. I melt in your feet. It's so
while we're doing that, if you're here tonight and you're saying, Pastor, pray for me because I want to respond to the love of God. I want to give my life to Jesus tonight. I want to start a new relationship with Jesus Christ. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be sure that if I die today, I'm going to go to heaven. If you're here like that, I want to help you give your life to Jesus tonight. I want to help you find Christ and find true love tonight. And so I want you to raise up your right hand where you are so I can see it. I'm standing all the way back here. I just want to see your right hand. You want to give your life to Christ tonight. Or you know in your heart that you have given your life to Christ before, but you've not been serious with this relationship with Christ. You're one step in, another step out. One foot in, the other foot out. But today, you want to make it complete once and for all. You want to give your life to Jesus tonight. And you want to rededicate your life to Him. You say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord over my life tonight. If you're here like that, just raise up your right hand. I want to see it. The rest of us can just be praying and just have a personal time with the Lord and just connect with God. Just raise up your right hand. I just want to see it. I see your hand at the back. God bless you. Just keep it up. I just want to see it. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We're talking about you and God, a relationship between you and God. What could be more important than a relationship with God, who has all power in heaven and on earth? Why don't you lift up your hand and choose him tonight? Raise up your right hand. Let me see it. Right. Just keep it up. Any more people? I can see a few hands up. Just lift up your right hand. There's nothing to be ashamed of tonight. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. Just keep it up. There's nothing to be ashamed of tonight. You are making the most important connection of your life. You are taking the most important step in your life tonight. Just keep that hand up. Just keep it up. Just keep it up. Why don't you take this one step? Leave your seats and meet me right here. I want to pray for you. I want to make it. If you are serious about putting your hand up, I just want you to leave your seats and just make your way to the front. Just next to you, just come. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Just come. Take a bold step for Jesus tonight. Just come to me right here. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. There's one more person. Just come. There's another person. Two more people. Just come. Come and join them tonight. Just take that step for Jesus tonight.
So overwhelming. I want to stay at your feet. Drink from the cup in your hand. Lay back against you and breathe. Feel your love is so deep, it's more than I can stay. I'm melting your peace, it's overwhelming.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if you're here and you know that you need to join in this prayer tonight, don't let this opportunity pass you by. See, in your life, you have let many opportunities pass you by. Don't make this one of them. I want you to leave your seat and just come boldly. Come and join them. You know that your place is this place tonight. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You want to start afresh with Jesus tonight. You want to start a new love relationship with God tonight. I want you to come and join them as we pray tonight together. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else coming? Anybody else coming? Thank you, Lord. Okay, let us pray together. Let's pray together. Those of you in front, I want to pray with you. And I just want to help you, lead you to give your life to Jesus and to rededicate your life to him. So I want to lead you in a prayer. I want you to say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Please come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Show me mercy, Lord. And forgive my sins. Forgive me, Lord. The sins I committed in ignorance and in immaturity, forgive me, Lord. Only you can save me, Jesus. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Oh, Jesus, please help me. Say, devil, you are not my master. Tonight you are fired. Jesus is my Lord. There is a new king on the throne of my heart. This life belongs to Jesus. I am for Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Master. I am saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. Amen. Now let me pray for you. Father, you promised that if anyone would come to you, you would in no wise, under no circumstance, and for no reason, cast him out. So Lord, we come to you with the assurance tonight that these ones are accepted in your kingdom. That you love them as they are. They don't have to be better before they come. That just as they are, you love them. You showed your love for them by sending Jesus to die for them. While they were yet sinners, Christ died for them. I pray that you will establish them in Christ, establish them in you. May their lives be fruitful. Deliver them from the unfruitful works of darkness. Deliver them from any association with evil. Deliver them from any covenants that lay a claim on their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare these lives out of service to the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. That they will live and move and have their being embedded in you. They will live for Jesus the rest of their lives. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. See, there's one of our pastors here. He just wants to give you a gift. This pastor right here just wants to give you a gift. If you follow him for 2 minutes and then you go back to your seat, okay? Yeah? Just go back there, just for one step. Amen. Right. Now, listen, our time is up, but I just want to pray for you very quickly. You want God to give you a new love for him. Just come very quickly to this place. Yes. Just come very quickly. Don't waste any time at all. That's probably everybody, but you just come as far as you can. Just at least take a step, okay? Just take a step. Just come as far as you can. It's important for you to take a step because it's a sign to God that I'm in this group. I'm one of those who wants to. Just come. You can fill up this place. It's all right. Just come fill up this place. Just come. You want God to give you a new heart for serving him, a new affection for him. You want God to renew your love for him, to give you grace to love and to serve him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just come. Just once this place is full, then it's okay that you took some steps. Just took some steps would be enough. Just come. Just come. Bring as many people to the front as possible. Maybe those of you here can take a step and just come to the first step. Yes. Yes. So more people can come behind you. You want God to give you a new heart for him. A new heart. A new heart. A new heart for him. A new heart for him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just place your hand on your chest, wherever you are. And just say to the Lord that I just want to love you more. I just want you to fill my heart with affection for you. I want you. I want you. I know that in the past it's been about things, about what you can do for me, about what I need from you, about what I want you to do for me. I've even gone as far as being upset with you because of what I thought you didn't do. But I repent tonight because I realize you did not send Jesus Christ to die for me to give me things. But Jesus Christ was a demonstration of your love for me. And the only thing I can do, the only appropriate response to the giving of your son, is that I will also give my heart to you. That's what I'm about tonight, Lord. That's what we are about tonight, Lord. That's what we are about tonight, Lord. But we know, oh God, that except you touch our hearts and convert our hearts into hearts that pant after you, except you touch our hearts and remove the things that our hearts have gone after, so many frivolous things that have filled our hearts, oh God, except you touch our hearts, except you touch our hearts, we'll be back at the same spot. But tonight we are looking up to you for a miracle. A miracle, oh God, that in this heart you will put affection for God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That you will remove our hearts from all the things that have occupied them. Jobs, relationships, children, money, material things, friends, oh God, all these things that have occupied and choked our hearts, that we cannot love you as we should, that we cannot flow as we should, deliver us from those things. Deliver us from those things, Lord. Deliver us from those things. In the name of Jesus. 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 Deliver us from those things. This heart belongs to you. Yes. Just keep your hand on that heart and say, Lord, this heart beats for you. This heart lives for you. Every day you hear my heartbeat, Lord, let it beat after you. Oh God, let my heart beat after you. Yes. Just begin to thank him, everybody. Just wherever you are, just start thanking him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for all these people in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. If I touch you, you can go back to your seat. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. All over the room, just pray and just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the love of God. Paul said, I long to see you that I may impart a gift unto you. Tonight, God is imparting a gift into your heart. There's surgery going on tonight in hearts. God is giving you a new heart. Brother, God is giving you a new heart. You're going to love God like you've never done before. Oh, yes. Jesus. Jesus. Fill his heart with love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Love is coming into your heart for God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Jesus. What I want is more of you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus. the love of God in your heart, Suzanne. In the name of Jesus. Yes. God has given you a special gift in the name of Jesus. Receive a special affection for God in the name of Jesus. As soon as I touch you, an impartation is taking place. You need to connect with it by faith and believe that after tonight, you will never again be the same, brother. You will never again be the same after tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Grace for loving God is coming in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Makamolo Mushatala Babaya. Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sing the same song. Okay, sing the same song. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 God is filling your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you. Jesus. Yes, love. Oh God. Yes, Jesus. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Here it comes. A new affection for God. New zeal, new love, new affection for God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Makabarama shatabalababa. Makamalababa. Thank you, Lord. Father, touch his heart. Take his heart for yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My heart's devotion. Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, she's yours. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The fire of God is going through you right now. You will never again be the same. Yes. Yes. Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. All these hearts belong to you tonight. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The more I
find you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Mashakaparabaya. Thank you, Lord.
so deep. It is more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet. Drink from the cup in your hand. Lay back against you and me. Feel your heart.
Yet we're just going to close. We're going to close very shortly, but God is doing something here, and I don't want you to walk out on His presence. Do you understand? There are times when you have to love God enough to wait on Him a little longer than you thought. Amen. So don't go, don't go. We're going to close in just a little bit. We're going to close. Amen. Yes,
it's overwhelming. I want. Sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it is more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it is more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
Everybody say,
I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it is more than I can say. I'm melting your peace, so.
Without the music.
I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it is more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming.
Sing it one more time.
I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it is more than I can stand. I'm melting your peace. It's overwhelming.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for a transformation of our destinies because of a new gift you have given to us. A new grace that has come upon our lives. A new capacity you have imparted into us to be able to love you, to serve you with love, to follow you with love. Thank you, Lord, for such a blessing tonight. Lift up your hand, everybody. Father, we pray that this year, as we purport to love you, Lord, we thank you that our needs are met in advance. Our needs are met. We don't even have to worry about it. The sick is healed tonight. The sick is healed tonight. The spirit of infirmity is commanded to go out of you right now in the name of Jesus. It cannot live in you. It cannot share the same place as a heart that beats for God. God will keep that body alive. God will keep that body alive. God will preserve that body in the name of Jesus. May your grace and covering be upon us in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Amen. Give Jesus a clap offering, everybody. Hallelujah.